You know what I'd like to stimulate all of you to kind of think about as we're studying these next 12 weeks, but not only this next 12 weeks, but on a daily basis, what do you believe the whole, how do you think the Holy Spirit is working in your life? Can you think back upon something during that day that you look upon and you say, boy, that was a Holy Spirit moment? And I know we know the Holy Spirit is with us all the time, but there seems to be moments of clarity when you think, wow, where did that come from? I often have that experience at times when I'm working with people in counseling, and I had a moment where I was just really had a dilemma with this 15-year-old girl who had attempted suicide about 2 months ago. She told me in a very kind of fatalistic way, she said, her father's a preacher. She believes her father and mother are prophet and prophetess. And she believes they told her that she's going to be raped. And so she believes she's going to be raped. And I said to her, you know, and I really don't believe the parents said it that way. I think I'm anxious about you and your way you're, because she's had a lot of, you know, not all the details you'll need to know, but there's been a lot of things that have happened to this girl. So when she told me that, I thought, I cannot let that sit there. She has the belief that her dad, as a prophet, told her, and this is going to happen because it was from God. And so then I was sitting there thinking, what am I going to do? I'm going to tell her, oh, that's ridiculous. That's what I wanted to say. But what would have that done? You don't believe. You don't understand. My dad's a prophet. My mom's a prophetess. They told me that. So then I thought, and I said, well, tell me about other prophecies you know about. I said, what about Jonah? What did Jonah's message? And she knows some of the Bible. And so she, I said, what was the intent of Jonah's message? And she said, to warn the people. I said, maybe that's a warning from your mom and your dad. Maybe it doesn't mean it's going to happen. Maybe it's a warning that you have to be aware of what's happening, or this could happen to you. And I thought, wow, where did that come from at that moment? Because I really was hyper aware of the fact that I didn't want to let that girl just walk out of my office with the belief, and that me listening to it was almost reinforcing that belief that is from God, that she's going to be raped again. Because that, when she talked about a prophet and it has been, this was prophesied. So I said to her, I said, absolutely. I said, I don't know any warning from God that's meant to be a doom. Any warning from God is meant to help you to be prepared and to decide what you're going to do. And she said, started thinking, and then we went on and discussed our thing. But I thought at that moment, I felt like that brilliance of trying to get this girl to come to a different conclusion wasn't from me at that moment. And that's such a powerful experience to recognize. And I think sometimes if we take a moment as we're closing our eyes or when we wake up the next day or whenever we do it and think about our day's activities and how we might have been influenced and inspired by the Holy Spirit and how that's playing out in our lives on a daily basis. And I think that's an important thing that we make this real. I mean, we're going to study about, we're talking about things, but it's important that we understand what is it like to experience that. You know, you talked about your decision and going, having this girl from China for a year, and what that, you know, you're seeking guidance. How do we know what kind of guidance is going to come from? We don't know. That's the exciting part. But that's what we're looking at. I want to clarify something I said last week. We talked about the text in all Scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction is righteous, and that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We talked about that last week, and I then read Deuteronomy where it talked about you know, how we're supposed to, you know, we can set a portion of the profits aside and go get strong drink and take it in to church and celebrate, basically, you know, if you want to look at some Deuteronomy. You know what? I've come to realize that it's all Scripture. So we have to make sure we take all Scripture, not portions of Scripture. This Bible, you can do anything you want with that Bible. You can prove this, you can prove that. You can say this is right, you can say this is wrong, based upon taking words out of this Bible. But if you look at all 66, if you take all 66 and you take it into the cultural context, into the time period context, and into the understanding about God, then it is inspired. So I wanted to clarify that, because I think it made it sound like we were going to pick and choose what was inspired. No, I think what we have to do is we have to make sure we use all of it. Because if we don't have all of it, then we're going to take bits and pieces and we're going to end up creating all kinds of beliefs. So I've been thinking about that a lot this week, so I wanted to restate that. Today the lesson is the Holy Spirit working behind the scenes. Now, we established last week the Holy Spirit is as much God as Jesus, right? We don't hear as much about the Holy Spirit. It's just as much God as God the Father. So the Holy Spirit is just as much God as all of the gods. So sometimes we tend to take it and make it like the Holy Spirit is just kind of, we say it's in the background and it's always referring to Jesus. But the truth is, what did Jesus always do? He referred to his Father. I've come to reveal the Father. So really, the Holy Spirit is acting in conjunction with Jesus and the way Jesus lived in this world. And the lesson it starts saying is, the Holy Spirit does not receive the same prominent attention as Scriptures do the Father and the Son. Nevertheless, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit was present at significant moments throughout sacred history. At the beginning, at God's creation of this world, he was at work. But more in the background, he was active in the inspiration of God's prophet, thus playing a key role in the writings of God's word. He was involved with the conception of Jesus Christ in Mary's womb. Yet he is not the center of the biblical record, and we know amazing little about him. He remains in the background, and that's because his role is to advance the work of someone else in the Godhead, Jesus, the Son of God, and to give glory to God the Father. All this so that the fallen human beings might be saved from eternal death that sin would otherwise bring them. I love the way they talk about sin. He's trying to keep us from the results of sin. Not trying to appease the Father. There's no legal problem here. He's not talking about trying to get us to not have the consequences of sin. He's just trying to save us from sin. So it's really interesting to think about, what do you think the Holy Spirit prior to sin was? Was there a role for the Holy Spirit? What was Jesus before sin? Jesus and the Holy Spirit. What was their role, you think? I mean, I'm just talking imaginative. I'm not saying we can sit down and say this is what it is, but it's interesting to think about. Go ahead.
God created the angels.
Mm-hmm.
So there was the angels to associate with. I personally feel God has created other worlds. Maybe there wasn't sin there, but the Holy Spirit was. When you talk about the Holy Spirit, I look at it a little bit different. Maybe than some do, because we can't touch it, we can't feel it. We haven't seen the Holy Spirit hang on the cross, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
If we took every family in this room right now, and we did a study of every family, would we have the exact same feeling in every home? Why? Because we as husbands and wives, as parents, create an atmosphere in which we live. And it would be different in every home that is represented here. When you look spiritually, and the Holy Spirit is part of the belief system that you have, when you believe in God, when that little small voice says, you need to think about that. Is that really right? Is that really what you want to do? We have created an atmosphere individually as far as our spiritual lives are concerned. And that Holy Spirit is reminding us and helping us in that atmosphere. If I don't believe in God, I don't have that spiritual atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But when I believe in God, and I believe in the sacrifice that He has made for me, that's that constant voice in the back, mm-hmm, saying, you're my child.
Mm-hmm.
You're my child. That's part of that atmosphere that we develop, just like we develop an atmosphere within our home,
mm-hmm,
because of the way we work together or don't work together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I think you're right in the sense of we could walk into that next class over there and there'd be a different atmosphere. It's all different. And I think we have to remember the Bible is not unfolding the mysteries of God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. It's talking about the remedy that we need for ourselves in this sinful world we find ourselves. Now, we can learn aspects about all of these things. But if we think that we're going to study the Bible and understand the mysteries of God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, I think we're kind of fooling ourselves, because it says we'll spend eternity not even understanding all of there is. So the Bible was really written as the remedy for all of us to understand the problem we're in and the answer. And the Holy Spirit is part of that. In Desire of Ages 671, the Comforter is called the Spirit of Truth. His work is to define and maintain the truth. He first dwells in the heart as the Spirit of Truth, and thus he becomes the Comforter. There is comfort and peace in the truth, but no real peace or comfort can be found in falsehood. It is through false theories and tradition that Satan gains his power over the mind. By directing man to false standard, he misshapes the character. Through the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit speaks to the mind and impresses truth upon the heart. Thus, he exposes error and expels it from the soul. It is by the Spirit of Truth, working through the Word of God, that Christ subdues His chosen people to Himself. In describing to his disciples the office work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus sought to inspire them with the joy and hope that inspired his own heart. He rejoiced because of the abundant help he had provided for his church. The Holy Spirit was the highest of all gifts that he could solicit from his Father for the exaltation of his people. The Spirit was to be given as a regenerating agent, and without this, the sacrifice of Christ would have of no avail. Wow, that's an interesting thing. The sacrifice of Christ would have no avail, because we and our own cannot. We need the Holy Spirit to continue exposing the truth that Satan is so masterfully telling us. What is the world? What is everything that is out there? It's all about understanding the character of God. I had a Muslim in my office yesterday, came 23-year-old Muslim, and you talk about an interesting idea of working with somebody from so different orientation. You know, he really knows God's not happy with him. He knows that because he's been lying, he's smoking pot, he's been using some cocaine, and he's been dating a girl for 10 years, and you don't date in the Muslim. You have your father's arranges. So he told me all the things that he's doing that he knows that God's not happy with him. And I thought, what do you, you know, don't tell me what your beliefs about God doesn't affect your life. It does. It psychologically frames and shapes the way you view the world. And as I talked to him once again, I thought, okay, where are we going with this? My emphasis was not to start talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. My emphasis was, let's talk about what can you do to do the things you know that you need to do in life. How are you going to come out into light? And that I use the word light. You're in darkness. You've been hiding. How are you going to come to light? And to me, when I talk about light, that's part of the Holy Spirit. But I'm not going to use those words. That would be insulting. That'd be ridiculous. And as we talked, I kept thinking, man, I just see what that mindset is. He just knows God's angry with him and that he's not going to have anything good happen to him as long as he's doing these things. What a God.
You know, I think too, Roger, that it's hard for me to understand even sometimes that God sees us so
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so you're dealing with a man that's you know, in a mindset that you look at, and you're so cognizant of how his belief on God in God and his beliefs, you know, just in terms of Muslim and the way they, you know, that there's other belief systems that are completely different and how it affects. And yet, you know, I always call it, to me, it sounds silly, but everybody remembers the movie E.T. And in the movie, there's a song called "Turn On Your Heart Light," and there's a little, because he had a little heart light. And in a way, in a very simplistic way, I think God sees the heart light in every human being, and it's so different than how we see each other.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, thank God that, you know, that we have a God who will. That's why when people say there'll be people that never heard the name Jesus in heaven, mm-hmm. there'll be people that, you know, I truly believe that. And so for us to try to show others, you know, that the character of God is so, it's such a challenge, but at the same time, God sees that person and knows their inner heart.
A funny thing about this man is he was a inspector for vehicles, and he did that for about a year, and he had got another job, and he had about a month left to do the job, and he had several times people wanted to come do hot inspections. Hot inspection is where you go ahead and find a way to pass it even though the car didn't pass. He did that twice. He's now got charges against him. Don't you look at how that's reinforced. I do it twice. I don't do it all of my career. Toward the end, I do it twice and get a little extra money. And now, certainly God's going to get me. Now, I know, because I only did it twice. Don't you think that devil is working like, okay, we're going to reinforce this. We're going to show you. And once again, he's just reinforced in, nothing good's going to happen in my life till I get right with God. And in a way, I believe that. Not the God in whom he believes, but in the real understanding of what it means to be right with God. And if nothing else, I thought, well, I can listen to this man and be with him. And I had a great experience with him. The power of evil has been strengthened for centuries. And the submission of man to this satanic captivity was amazing. Sin could be resisted and overcome only through the mighty agency of the third person of the Godhead, who would come with no modified energy, but in fullness of divine power. It is a spirit that makes effectual what has been wrought out by the world's Redeemer. The spirit makes it effective. It is the Spirit that the heart is made pure. Through the Spirit, the believer becomes a partaker of divine nature. Christ has given His Spirit His divine power to overcome all heredity and cultivated tendencies to evil and to impress His own character upon His church. I love those words that she talked about. In the lesson, it talks about the Spirit being like the wind. And it says here, we all can learn somewhat familiar with the movement and patterns in the wind. In similar manner, the Holy Spirit is active where He wills. No one can control Him, yet we can know where He's active and at work. You know, instead of the wind, I think a better analogy is air. Think of the air that surrounds our world. You know, we breathe it in every day. We exhale it. The trees and the process. You think about that whole cycle of how we are provided and we provide for the trees. And if that's not a demonstration of the of God and God's love. In the steps to Christ, it says here, God gave a wonderful gift to the world, His Son. This unequaled gift has circled the world with grace, like the air which is everywhere. It is as real as the air we breathe. If we choose to receive this life-giving grace of Christ, we will live and grow up to begin men and women in Christ Jesus. I think that's, we can put in Holy Spirit in there. It's the air. It's, we take it in. And I think that's why, you know, sometimes we're not conscious of it until we go to a place where there's not good air. You ever go to 10,000 feet? What happens when you're there? You're walking. And then you try to run. Then you try to go down the stairs. Oh, I got to take a bath. We're all of a sudden conscious of, wow, the air is different. Or if you go to a place where the air is polluted, you think, oh man, all this pollution. Or if we have Texas where we have air that has all kinds of pollens in it. Whoa, my allergies. Once again, sometimes it's not until we have something kind of dysregulate us till we're conscious of it. And I really hope that through our study of the Holy Spirit is something we can become conscious of. Something that we can take in and recognize is part of our life. If the Holy Spirit is active where He wills, why do so many Christians seek to dictate the Spirit, His activities? What about that? Why do we try to dictate so many activities? Think about our own history of a church. Look at all the different conflicts as a church we've had as an organization. 1888, righteousness by faith, that whole conflict. The last general conference session, women ordination. These are all things, and everyone that takes positions on that believes very thoroughly they're being led by the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting to think about how that works. You know, why is it the only division in that has three black conferences, North American division? Why is that? Why do we have three black conferences? Does God not want black and whites to integrate? To me, it shows you the fact that God is still working with us and we have a lot to go. Why do we have three black conferences? Because if you put a black minister in a white church after the Civil War, what would have happened? Would they have heard God's message? They wouldn't have heard a thing. What happened when if the black want to come into the quote white churches? Would they have been the message they received? It shows you the Holy Spirit is working, and it has to continue to work with the humanity and our challenges. Go ahead.
I think we define the Holy Spirit, and like you were saying earlier, everybody has a different definition of God. Every individual is going to have a little bit different picture and definition. And we can define the Holy Spirit differently as well. Like the wind, we don't see it, but we see the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that there's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is full of it, from mm-hmm. one to the very last page. It's full of evidences mm-hmm. of the working of God and the Holy Spirit. I think we forget the fact that we also are subject to the evidence of Satan's working. And, you know, there may or may not be a balance. We tend to define our standards and our activities as from God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we got to be really, really careful about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of what you're just describing, you know, whatever magazine you're reading may not be evidence of the Holy Spirit. It may be some of the working of Satan that intervenes in that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our policies and procedures that we would preach about.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to be really careful in saying that's from God, or God told me this.
Mm-hmm.
We really have to study that out, because we may very well be subject to the evidences of what Satan is doing, and he's working really, really hard to sidetrack us from keeping our focus on Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? I think that's the beauty of us having the Bible, is we can see other movements and other experiences and how they got sidetracked. How long were the children of Israel? Did God intend for them to go 40 years? Absolutely not. It was a 10 or 12 day journey. That, to me, shows you the graciousness of our God. He is going to work with us in any way He can to bring us to understand His desire.
You know, think about how in the span of history, you know, the Holy Spirit and God have been working, but the life of Jesus Christ was limited down mm-hmm. to a small little 30 years or whatever. And so, basically for 3.5 years, His ministry was a person that you could actually touch, shake hands, you could hug, you could sing with him. Everything else that we have studied, we have, is the evidences mm-hmm. of God's working. So it's really, really it's interesting, it's profound that God chose, felt the need, recognized the need, and knew He had to actually put a physical being on this earth to give us something tangible to hold on to. That's kind of a counterbalance to all of the things that we can't see.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus came at the time when they had figured out the truth in their minds and they were so set. And you talk about that time period, and Jesus came to dispel everything they had believed. And I think that just shows me that God continues to work. He has no desire for us to not be all together as one. He has no desires for to have this or that, or decide who has the Holy Spirit and who can do this and who can do that. He wants us all to know that. But He's going to work with us in our limitations. No, go ahead. I love it. Go ahead.
When I get confused, which is about the topic, about the mysteries of God and the mysteries of the Holy Spirit. You can explain it. It's, you know, it's just, it's a mystery. Mm-hmm. At least we know we can go back to the tangible, physical Jesus.
Absolutely.
And that answers a lot of questions.
Absolutely.
I can focus that way. All this other is, you know, it's a mystery still. Mm-hmm. So I thank God that He gave us this plan of a living Jesus.
Absolutely, a living Jesus that we can, that all things is comes clear. Absolutely. That is such an important thing to remind ourselves. Anybody else have any comments? I love your comments because I really think we're trying to look at the reality of the Holy Spirit. And it's not until we have a new heart and a changed minds that we can understand these things. Therefore, after the Civil War, if we would have not had some way to have differences and help people to understand, we would have not, many people wouldn't have known the truth. But that's not God's design. Just like when the people of children of Israel wanted a king. And God said, no, you don't want a king. You don't understand what you want. Oh, we want a king. We want a king. Okay, I'll give you a king. And then they were complaining about all the taxes of the king and everything about that. And that just shows you that it's just God's willing to go with us, but He keeps saying, whoa, I don't think you understand. I don't think you understand. In the Monday, and it says the Holy Spirit was not only present at the creation of this world, He is also active in the process of our recreation, in which He gives us a new heart and a new mind. How are both of these activities related? What does the Sabbath tell us about this work of creation and recreation? A new heart and a new mind. That's such a powerful thing to realize, a new heart and a new mind. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, I'm reading out of a Remedy Bible. Therefore, since the remedy is still available, and the promise of complete healing and perfect rest still stands, let us be careful that none of us be found to have rejected it. For we also have the good news of God's healing truth presented to us just as they did. But the message of truth has no value to them because they do not believe it, nor did they trust the one who gave it. But we, who have trusted God on a basis of truth, Christ provided, experience healing, enter that rest, and our minds are at peace. As God has said, so I granted them their persistent choice and said, since they refuse the truth, the remedy I freely offer, they will never be able to enter my rest and get well. It is not because God's perfect rest was not available, for it has been ready since His work of creation was complete. As the scriptures say elsewhere regarding the seventh day, and on the seventh day God rested His case. He finished all of His work of providing the evidence needed to refute the lies of Satan. And yet, in another passage, He says, if they refuse the truth, if they reject the evidence I provided, their minds will never find rest and they will never get well. The opportunity to find God's healing and rest still remains. Even those who have formerly had the good news of God's healing truth presented to them did not get well or find rest because they refused to believe the truth and trust God. Therefore, God again and again presented His healing remedy, and He set a certain day which He called today, when later He spoke through David to the same scriptures before. Today, if you hear His voice offering healing and restoration, do not reject the true remedy and darken your minds. For if Joshua had already given them healing of character and rest for their minds, God would not have spoken later about another day of rest still to come. There remains then a Sabbath rest, a rest in the evidence and truth of the character of God, which heals and transforms the people of God. For anyone who rests in the achievement of Christ rests from working to save themselves, just as God rested from his work. Let us therefore make every effort to rest in the truth about God as revealed by Christ, so that no one will fall by following the example of distrust and refusal to accept the truth. You look at that. The Sabbath was really a demonstration of God saying, now I'm going to take a step back. And look, I mean, think of all those 6 days of creation. Think of all the things that occurred and what the universe saw, the mighty power of God. But did he keep saying, okay, I'm going to keep showing it to you? He said, no, I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to let all of you look at it. So the rest, the Sabbath rest, is really taking a step back and saying, God, you have provided for me. You are a mighty God. You do love us. You do care for us. I am not able to save myself. You alone can save. What a different kind of idea of a Sabbath rest versus what we don't do on the Sabbath. Go ahead.
I've been reading the book The Rest of God, which was written by a Sunday-going minister. But he talks about the seventh day being the Sabbath. But he also talks about, we hear about sabbaticals, preachers take sabbaticals. He said God has given us each a sabbatical every week.
Every week.
We have a sabbatical. And that's to replenish and renew what he wants for us.
Absolutely. And it's quite a contrast from what we're not going to do on that day. What we can't do and what we can do. It's taking a step back, realizing that God has always been a God who says, I want you to evaluate the evidence and decide for yourself. You choose in whom you serve. You choose in who you're going to follow. I want to make sure you have ample evidence. I want to make sure you have a full understanding. And when I read this, I was really struck by the fact that creation was really a demonstration of God's power, His majesty. So the seventh day was like a saying, let you all evaluate it. Look at this. And what do you imagine Lucifer and the fallen angels when they saw this demonstration? Who knows if that was maybe an appeal to some of them to recognize God and to come back? We don't know these things. I just know that God is doing everything he can to draw us near to him. And therefore, I think we have to keep that in mind. The Holy Spirit wants to urge. I think probably as a parent, I've had more feeling of peace when I think about the Holy Spirit's doing everything it can to bring my daughters into relationship. It's doing everything with me. Because in my narrow mind, I grew up in a certain way, and that was the way it seemed to be have to be. But now I get beyond that, and I realize that God is doing all kinds of things to bring people together. And who knows?
Roger, I think when creation was done, the crowning act was the Sabbath. And God said, it is good. It is finished.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Meaning, everything that I've provided to you,
look at it. Evidence is there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He gave it to us when Christ was on the cross. He gave everything. And he says, it is finished. There is no other way except through me that you can get back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when Christ was on this earth, okay, he had a Bible connection with God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we know that the Holy Spirit was with him through his temptations, mm-hmm. through everything. So guess what he did? I have to go because I'm going to send you my best friend,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you the vital connection mm-hmm. to me, to God. And that means that he said, I got the best, my best friend was the Holy Spirit, my mm-hmm. buddy, my friend, my brother, mm-hmm. whoever. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to give him to you. I'm going to send him to you.
Absolutely.
The best thing I can do is go.
Mm-hmm.
He showed us what it was, and the Holy Spirit glorifies. And what glorifying means to me is I am showing you my character of God.
Absolutely.
Okay? And that's what he does. He wants to take, and I finally realized this week that when he says, I want to take and make Christ in me, that's what the Holy Spirit does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's right. I think that's the truth. I've heard words like this, but until it comes a meaning in your life,
yes.
until you have to grapple with some of the things of life, until you struggle, then it has meaning. Go ahead.
I don't know if I have the answer to this, but it just occurred to me that God said it is finished twice.
Yeah, that's right.
He created the world, and when he was laying on the cross. And I think there's some significance to that if we really understand it.
Absolutely significant. Absolutely. There's a lot of things to really contemplate, and I think that's what the Sabbath was meant to do, is to contemplate and understand. I mean, my world from Sunday to Friday is so filled with this or this or this or this or this, and there's not a lot of contemplation that occurs. Occasionally I'll take a moment. But truthfully, the Sabbath is a meant to contemplate. It's a meant to stimulate our minds to understand what God has done and what he is doing. And who, in whom do we believe? That young man that sat in my office yesterday, when he shared his life, I was sitting there thinking, wow. I'd like you to introduce you to Jesus. I'd like you to introduce you to God that I know. But that's only going to occur if he experiences something with me. You know, you think about Jesus in his 3.5 years in this life, in ministry. He didn't clarify a thing about the Old Testament. He didn't try to clarify Deuteronomy and that he didn't mean to bring strong drink to church. Or he didn't try to straighten up this. Or he didn't try. He lived. He connected. He interacted. He came to reveal the Father, not to try to straighten out this or this or this or this. And some people say, well, that's just evidence that, you know, that's supposed to stay the same way. No, that's not evidence that's supposed to stay the way. That's evidence that God wants us to each be open to the Holy Spirit and to come to decisions through understanding with the Holy Spirit. Remember, God pretty much told Israel what to do. I mean, he brought them out of slavery. He took them. He worked with them. He understood their mindset. He tried to help them. No, you got to don't do this. Don't do that. You know, he went through all of these things to try to get them to understand basic things. And how long did that last? Moses went up few days and didn't come back down. They were there worshiping image they created. So we have to remember it's not certain words or certain ideas. It's us coming to understand who God is. Next week we're going to look at the Holy Spirit in the sanctuary. I didn't get time to do that today. It's part of this lesson, so I'll look at next week's and incorporate that. But it's Holy Spirit in the sanctuary. Now that's going to be an interesting putting those two together. And how that works. Shall we pray? Dear God, we're so grateful as we study the lesson about the Holy Spirit. Study your words, that you continue to work with us where we are. We know that your Son came to show you the Father. and that the Holy Spirit is with us to help us to understand those truths, because without the Holy Spirit, we really wouldn't understand. I pray that each one in this class will experience the opening of their minds to the Holy Spirit and the truths that you have for each one of us, and that we as a class can draw together and encourage and be the kind of people that stimulate others to understand your love. Thank you for everything you do in this Sabbath day. In Jesus' name, amen.